Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of Newgen Software Technologies Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Aditi Patil from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Aditi.
Thank you, Pooja. Good evening and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings call of Newgen Software Technologies. It's my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of Newgen. We have with us today Mr. Diwakar Nigam, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. T. S. Varadarajan, Whole-time Director, Mr. Virendrajeet, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arun Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Deepti Mehra Chugh, Head Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Ms. Deepti for further proceedings. Thank you, and over to you, Deepti.
Thank you, Aditi. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Deepti Mehra Chugh, Head Investor Relations, Newgen Software Technologies Limited, and I welcome you all to the Q4 FY25 results of the company. Before we move on to the discussion, let me highlight that this call may contain certain forward-looking statements concerning Newgen's future business prospects and profitability, which are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially vary from the forward-looking statements. Past performance may not be indicative of future performance. The company does not undertake to make any announcements in case any of these forward-looking statements become materially incorrect or update any forward-looking statements made from time to time by or on behalf of the company. For further details, you may please refer to the Investor Relations section of our website. I will now hand over to Mr. Varadarajan for presentation of the results, which will be followed by a Q&A. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are pleased to report our results for full year and Q4 of FY25. FY25 was a year of healthy revenue growth and margin expansion for Newgen. We witnessed revenues of 1,487 crores, leading to a growth of 20% YoY. The year unlocked new opportunities for us, identifying fresh avenues for expansion. We witnessed strong growth in our license and implementation revenues. License revenues witnessed a growth of 41% YoY. This is expected to generate further downstream revenues moving forward. Implementation revenues grew by 25% YoY. For the year, our annuity revenues were at 834 crores, comprising of 56% of our revenues. Our business model is well diversified across geographies, with each geography meaningfully contributing to our growth. APAC has been the highest growth market for us during the year, witnessing a 59% YoY growth. The year witnessed some landmark wins in banking and in government sector for records management in the region, strengthening our market position further. India and EMEA continue to be the largest contributor to our revenues. As digital transformation continues to accelerate, banks are facing increased pressure to adopt AI, automation, and data revenue decision-making. With adoption of Newgen solution, banks are able to enhance business volume, improve operational efficiencies, and provide better customer experiences. Our efforts have started yielding results in the U.S. region also. The region witnessed a strong growth of 20% YoY in the revenues, and we have seen some early success with deal wins, especially in the insurance sector in the last quarter of the year. We expect these early wins to open the door for broader regional adoption. Continuing with our emphasis on catering to larger-scale clients and those who significantly contribute to our business, we saw an increase in the number of customers with billing over 5 crores from the 65 of the last year to 87 in the current year. Moreover, we added 62 new logos during the year. Coming to our product, we embraced AI as a core enabler, transforming it into a tool that augments human intelligence, automating classification, extracting insight, and streamlining of workflows. As part of our AI-first strategy, we are making significant investment in AI-driven products and solutions. We are moving toward conversational agentic frameworks where voice will play a central role. By leveraging AI, we can help boost productivity, decision quality, and even employee engagement with these enterprises, with these enterprise systems. During the year, we have launched our groundbreaking AI agents, Lumen, Harper, and Marvin. Lumen is a growth intelligent agent. Harper is a conversion intelligence agent to boost engagement and sales. Marvin is a productivity agent for task automation and efficiency enhancement. These products are designed to deliver cost-effective and cost-efficient efficient value while prioritizing transparency and governance. These agents have already demonstrated their potential through several promising and rich use cases. Some of our compelling use cases include an AI-based case management solution to streamline, automate, and enhance the management of cases. These would be extremely critical in reducing the processing time significantly across knowledge industries, regulatory and regulatory authorities, and so on. Another interesting use case based on our AI agent Lumen includes an AI-first early warning system for corporates, financial institutions, and SMEs, which has been designed to proactively monitor and identify potential risks such as credit default, fraud, liquidity issues, or systemic threats in order to take preemptive action. These systems are use machine learning, data analytics, and real-time monitoring to detect warning signs from various data sources across around 1,500 parameters at account and borrower level. In the insurance sectors, we are working in the agentic workspace for underwriting and claim processes to enhance the decision-making and making it more straight-through by clearing anomalies and exceptions, underwriting cases, data-driven models for faster, more accurate, and more consistent decisions. We anticipate further growth and innovation in AI-led journey as we build upon these use cases and successes. We have provided to a vertical first go-to-market, focusing on various journeys clusters on the basis of their revenue potential, product maturity, investment and portability across geographies. Newgen's transformative growth vision includes targeting banking at scale across regions and expanding in insurance and government segments. We are also strengthening our partnership with advisory firms, system integrators, and independent software vendors. In Q4, Newgen has been named a leader in the Forrester Wave content platforms. That is in Q1 2025. Newgen One Contextual Content Services received the highest possible scores in 10 criteria, including metadata, search, content migration, lifecycle management, intelligent data extraction, document generation, and digital process automation. The report recognized that Newgen continues its solid innovation strategy with a focus on AI automation and app design capabilities. Our culture of innovation combined with deep domain expertise is what truly differentiates us. Out of our global workforce of over 4,600 professionals, we have more than 600 people spanning product development, AI engineering, domain consulting. During the year, we have added senior leadership talent to strengthen go-to-market, delivery, and innovation capability also. We are proud to be recognized as a great place to work. This certification is a testament to our unwavering dedication to fostering and empowering and dynamic work culture where our people thrive and deliver outstanding results. Coming to profits and margin, we delivered healthy growth in profits and expanded margins during the year. Profit after tax was at 315 crores, which is 21% of revenues. We continue to prudently invest in R&D and sales and marketing activities. During the year, we have invested nearly 10% of our revenues in R&D initiatives and around 21% of revenues on the various sales and marketing activities. On the balance sheet front, we witnessed robust cash flow generation with our net cash generated from operating activities for the year at rupees 215 crores. We have declared a dividend of rupees 5 per share. Looking at Q4 results, we crossed quarterly revenues of 400 crores for the first time. We witnessed 15% YOY growth in the quarter to reach the revenues of 430 crores. Our profit after tax reached 108 crores in this quarter. We are excited about the future and expect to continue to maintain the growth momentum with our unique solutions in the financial services, insurance, government sectors, and innovation in AI-led journeys. These solutions and our result-based services help our customer with their revenue enhancement, optimization, and efficiency improvement. Our strategy is built around the full life cycle of our users, and that journey-led mindset is paying off in stronger engagement, retention, and growth. While we remain mindful of the broader market conditions, we are confident in our ability to continue delivering value to our customers and shareholders. That's all. Thank you very much, and we are now open for the question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ruchi Mukhija from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First, if I look at the annuity revenue mix, it's been trending down even when I look at the annual number. Could you help us understand why the annuity revenue mix is trending down?
Hey, Ruchi, thank you for your question. You're absolutely right. The growth on this year, especially this quarter, has been predominantly on license and implementation. And as you understand, the annuity revenue is typically a downstream revenue. And in our last quarter, we had clearly mentioned that some of our larger deals have delayed annuities kicking in. And we had given a projection that by Q3, Q4 of this year, we should be able to restore our healthy annuity growth rate. So it's a temporary phenomena. We don't see as a normal, but the business automatically compounds annuity. There's not a question about that. But yes, in the short term, since the license growth rates and the implementation growth rates are higher side, you don't see the annuity growth rates proportionately. We do think that in next 2 quarters, we should be back on the track so that the growth rates can be restored on those annuity side of it.
Secondly, if we look at the growth number, this year we saw successive growth moderation for FY25. Q1 we had 25% growth rate. Now we are ending Q4 with 15% YY top line growth. So when you look into the deal wins, what do you see the near to medium term growth that Nutrien can have?
Yeah, so while you look at the 15% growth, and this is a large quarter for us, and if you look at our deal win momentum, I think this has been one of the very good years for us. In fact, we have won 62 large logos this year, and which is significantly much higher than previous years. Not only that, our some of the challenges in US, they have been addressed in Q4 with almost 10 large deals incoming from US, and APAC has grown. On India and Middle East, which are primarily large markets, I think we just recall the last year our growth rates were almost 40% in the Q4. So relatively their growth this quarter was muted. But on going on in terms of looking at number of deals which we have won, the larger license growth of 41%, we are confident that downstream revenues will start kicking in. And the way the market currently is shaping, and in spite of uncertainty, since our revenues are pretty diversified, they are now equally, APAC is playing a very important role in the revenue, it has reached a significant number. India, Middle East continue to be large markets for us, and US kicking in. We are still positive to maintain a growth momentum going into next year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ruchi.
Thank you, Ruchi. The next question is from the line of Aditi Patil from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on EMEA market. What specifically in Q4, what has led to year-on-year decline in EMEA? Was there any unexpected ramp down?
No, this is not really. I think this is the Q4 is a very large market, and I said last year we had at a 40% growth, and lot of them were licensed deals. This year, I think we missed some of the deals coming, which were about to come in Q4, and that is the number. Since, on a quarterly basis, and when you divide the whole annual number to quarterly, and then you also divide by regions, and a few deals make huge difference in performance. They are not the true reflection of the market is behaving. We have not lost any major deals. We have just been able to close less number of licenses which were anticipated to be closed.
Okay.
That is it. So there's nothing bigger than that in that.
So do we expect these license deals to close in like Q1 or Q2 of FY26?
We do hope that, but unless the deals come in, we are all waiting. But yeah, the market is still, this is a strong market for us, especially on government and financial services. We expect the growth momentum to continue out there. And we have built some very, very large deals in last year. Some of them should surely come up in Q1, Q2.
Okay, got it. And I have a follow-up on the question which Ruchi asked. So if we see for Q4, the support revenue has dipped YOY. So if I understand, like the support revenue run rate should continue, like because, can you just help us understand why the support revenue has dipped?
It's a marginal dip. I think it is a kind of a correction in certain accounts. We have some in terms of quarterly adjustments. We are still working with the customer to get those revenues back. But right now, since they were held by the customer for a particular while. So again, if you look at it on a quarterly basis, a single deal or a single case makes the difference in the revenue. We don't read too much into that. And we
So we haven't seen a drop on YY basis in support revenue since FY22. So that is why I was curious to know, like, does it mean that the client has not renewed our support or not going to renew them further?
See, sometimes the timing of the contract happens. Sometimes there is an adjustment or sometimes there are also... See, also there is an element of churn in the business anyway. But those churns are in the minor 1 or 2%. So they are not the effect. So there is no major change or major loss of client. So it is more about, adjustments or more about in terms of the timing of the deal happening. Of renewal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And on the implementation revenue, so for Q4, we did see a strong growth both in QOQ and YOY. So does it mean that the deals which were stretched for our Indian PSU banking clients, the implementation that was stretched, that is progressing well? And so when should we expect major part of that to get completed?
Yes, so I think we had strong implementation revenues projected coming into Q4. We are still, in the process of executing some of those projects. I think most of them will be in the more final stages in Q3, Q4 of this year. And that is where we are hoping to kick in the more support revenues and the ATS revenues we should get.
Okay. And can you remind us what is typically, what is the percentage of support and implementation revenue as compared to, sorry, support and AMC revenue as percentage of your license revenue?
So there's so basically ATS AMCs have direct correlation. They're somewhere between 18 to 22% of our revenue when they kick in. Support is depending on more about complexity of engagement. So clients could have a disproportionate. So clients could have a support team of 5 or they could have a 50 support team. That's more to do with the kind of work and where they are rolling out. So it does not have a direct correlation.
Okay, okay. And can you share the order book numbers as of end of FY25, how much it has grown?
I think at the end of FY25, our order book stood at 1,640 crores.
Okay.
So I think, the order books don't give the complete picture. I think the way we look at it is, we look at order book and the unexecuted order book, which is going into the next year. I think we expect a more healthy growth on the unexecuted order book side going into next year, which results in more business and control, specifically either renewals or unexecuted order book. So we are seeing a strong growth of more than 20% in the business and control part of our business.
Okay, so can you share like what has been the like unexecuted order book number?
I think Dipti can share those numbers accurately. I don't have right now on that, but she can share it for next last 3 years.
Okay, sure. Thank you. And last one on we have seen a moderation in banking revenue. Like we have seen a strong growth in banking for last few quarters. And now we are seeing the growth moderating. So is it because for our large clients in India and EMEA, we have implemented our key solutions and the demand is now saturated? Like, can you share growth outlook going forward over here?
No, you're absolutely right. I think you've seen this year, there is a higher jump in insurance and government growth. And the banking growth is more at, I think, 11-14% of growth, if I'm correct. Maybe 15% growth in banking rather than close to 20%. And you are right, I think last 2 years, there's a huge momentum around public sectors spending on banking, especially also on the digital lending side, which we are trying to do in both India and Middle East. Some part of that has been serviced, but still the unserviced part is very, very large. I think it's still... Since our growth rates last year were very high and we are still in process of executing some, we see slightly muted. We don't see that for next few years, still banking is going to be the predominant growth driver for the company. While insurance and government will start taking up some market share where we can do even have accelerated growth, but for the company to grow, we still expect the banking to do extremely well. We have cases going forward both in India and Middle East this year. And we don't see a challenge that to maintain a growth momentum. I think this current years of 15% growth vis-a-vis 20% growth in banking, I would still treat as an anomaly rather than that is the trend going forward.
Okay. So can you talk in bit detail about the unserviced part, or like which client segment or which solutions comprise this?
See, I think, while... Even on the core product of lending, we have covered most of the public sector and maybe some tier one banks. There's a huge set of markets still which is typically taking up, doing second generation of transformation on those products. So private banks are available to us. And then there's a large list of what we call finance companies or NBFCs, which are our product. Last year we got around 6 of them. There are still in India roughly around 30 more, which is an addressable market for us. Beyond that, we sold some of things like payments and trade in some tier one accounts. So there's a huge probability of multiplying those businesses across all more, both in India as well as in Middle East. So I would say continued momentum in lending plus more to do in payments and trade in tier one banks is going to provide the wider market for us. And then supported by the deals which we can do in financial what you call NBFCs.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pranav Mashruwala from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, Pranav, go ahead.
Yeah. Just one on the broad revenue and revenue outlook, considering the overall macro situation, any pockets of headwinds that we are particularly seeing in terms of delays. So we've seen certain delays coming out in our SaaS and also in some of our licenses. So any headwinds that you'd like to call out for FY26?
Sorry, I think there's a lot of disturbance. Right? If you can go on.
Yeah, is it any better?
Yeah, thank you. So Pranav, you know, I think as you were rightly saying, I think right now it's the whole, everything is pretty uncertain and we don't know how things are going to shape. Having said that, as I said, we are pretty diversified. You know, there's not a single market or a single client segment on which we are dependent. And some of our markets do seem to be less affected initially. I think our markets like India are less affected right now. We are also looking, working in APAC. And the third thing is the financial services companies where we are dealing with predominant and insurance. They probably have second degree impact and third degree impact. So we are, you know, in the beginning of the year, in our planning stage, we are clearly driving for growth this year. We don't see any larger challenges, hitting our way. Having said that, I think we'll be cautious. We'll be assessing situation every quarter. But as of now, in the beginning of the year, we are looking at our historical growth rates and trying to do better than that.
Great. Also, just doubling down again on the growing the SaaS business, do we expect SaaS to, you know, recoup some of the slower growth in FY26, considering some of the deal pipeline and that we have been building in base as well as marketing teams in US?
No, I don't see that. I see some of the momentum which has come in US and also momentum in other geos like Australia and UK should push the SaaS revenue up. And we are hopeful that I think in next year we should be do a better number on SaaS. So SaaS is again, it's a kind of where we are providing our software service on cloud. But beyond that, you know, our license deals are equivalent to SaaS deals. So in US, we are doing both combination of typically some tier 1 accounts are looking at even license deals, but mostly are looking at SaaS. So any growth in US, Australia, UK, and in even some in other markets is tending towards SaaS. So I don't see any challenge in SaaS business per se next year.
Okay. So just also one on the margin aspect. So we are clearly right now exiting Q4 on a high note. How would you see margins trending over for the next year?
See, we, you know, I think we have been always maintaining this for our company. We always operate for higher growth mode. So we initially upfront we have cost loaded. And somewhere between 16 to 18% is what we load cost in the beginning of year as a part of the plan. So any growth which we hit in about 20%, our markets margins should keep on expanding. And I think unless we are more aggressively able to invest in growth. But in any eventuality, we fall below, you know, 17-18% of growth, we may have flat margins or contracted margins. So margin is a function of our business. We have at a gross level above 64% margins. So as long as we can maintain a healthy growth rate, the margins will keep on expanding.
Finally, on the expected tax rate for FY26, so Q4 we exited with around 23% and Q3 we had about 16.5%. So color on that.
So this is the base now. I think, you know, it's because of the SEZ full benefits and now partial benefits coming in. Now the current base of 23% is going to be the likely base which will continue going forward. And so last year we had roughly around 17.5% or I think more close to 18% tax rate. This year we are at operating at 23%. So this is the new base. I don't think this can ever go back unless, you know, we have some change in government policies. So this is going to be the new norm on operating at 23% tax.
And that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Agarwal from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I have two questions. Firstly, follow up on one of the other participants' questions where you said that you should take about a couple of quarters for the annuity revenue growth to come back to double-digit levels or mid-teens levels. So if the first half is going to be in single digits and annuity forms a bulk of your revenue portion, is it fair to expect that you would be able to grow 20% in FY26? That's the first question. Secondly, when I look at the region-wise margins, India margins have gone down from mid-20 levels to 15% levels in FY25 versus FY24. What will be the key reason for this? Those are the two questions. Thanks a lot.
Akshat, nice talking to you again. So, you know, Akshat, what is the issue is, you know, while I'm saying annuity margins recovery is we are talking of where all our ATSs start kicking in back and the support revenue start coming in. While, you know, while that is happening, we still are selling aggressively more licenses and more deals. So like in this quarter, also in previous quarter, we have continued to sell more licenses and our license growth rates are 40%. I do hope that while the annuities take some time to pick up, our new deals and our, you know, what you call deals in existing accounts should be able to compensate for that and we should be able to maintain a healthy growth momentum on that. On the region-wise margin, it's the same function. I think India, you know, has not grown at the pace we expected it to grow. It's more like a growth rate of, I think, 14-15% this year, while the cost in India has grown at 17-18%. So there's a margin contraction out there. But yeah, so I think it's again at the beginning of the year, if we take a call, again this year, we will be taking a call of growing our cost at 16-17%. But we are planning that India should be able to go back to the 20 or above 20% growth mark. So I think these are momentary things, but I don't think annuity holds us back for the larger growth. I think what if you look at Q4 phenomena about you know growing at 15% is a function of also very high growth rates last year on Q4, plus the annuity things not kicking in terms of some of the large deals. I don't think both of the problems are in Q1 and Q2. Q1 and Q2 are relatively smaller quarters for us. Large deals can compensate, new license deals can compensate for a lot of growth rates and slowdown in the annuity side. And then in the meantime also we are looking at multiple ways to enhance the support revenue stream and enhance the ATS support stream. We are looking at rate revisions, we are looking at again price renegotiation in certain cases, which should also give us few percentage points going into next 1 or 2 years.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Deep. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Heenal Gada from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. We have seen that quarter four is typically a stronger quarter in terms of license revenue booking, but we don't see this you know, panning out in the current quarter. And I'm cognizant that quarter three was a good quarter in terms of these bookings, but then is there any other reason which is attributed to this deceleration?
You know, I think on a Q4 basis, it has been always a strong quarter for us as a percentage of annual revenue. So this year also, if you look at our annual revenues and divide across quarters, Q4 is the largest quarter for us. So it has grown. The challenge has been that Q4 last year has grown at 40%, and both on annual Y-on-Y and also sequentially to a very large number. When it comes to license sales, I think if you look at this year license sale Q4 to Q4, let me look at this number. We have grown at 31% Y-on-Y on the license sale. So license sale momentum has kept up. The point we were discussing about some of the annuity streams have not caught up with that same thing, which is to do with our in terms of our ability to execute large projects and make them live. So it's a momentary challenge. We think in couple of quarters we should be able to get that. But our, you can clearly see our deal momentums in Q4 are the highest. I think this is probably the highest. We have gone up to 97 crores of license sale, which is our highest ever license sale. And even Q3 was very strong at 93 crores, something like that.
Okay. And so a follow-up to that, so you mentioned the implementation which got delayed, which has kind of impacted our revenues. are there any corrective measures, you know, which need to be taken from our side probably to avoid the same in the future? Like, if you could just help us understand what exactly has caused this delay.
Yeah, so, okay, it's a longer story. I think if you look at a couple of years back, I think last 1.5 years, we have entered into much larger deals, which is more traditionally, and there are also deals which are more complex and more large, in which the downstream revenues, which typically start accumulating after the project's complete finish, have started, got delayed. Now, typically projects used to be 6-7 months, now they are 1.5 years to 2 years. So that's it was a part of great wins, and then this is the impact of that. What is happening right now in most of these projects, in next 2-3 quarters, we are towards more closure of those projects. They are almost now closing at the same time. And the next stage of large deals are also coming at a faster execution cycle, because now, you know, we have done most of them. We are trying to compress the timeline. So this is a function. This is a one-time impact which came to our business. And it was a bit of a surprise, because we assumed that annuity automatically compounds, did not compound. And we do hope that as soon as our projects get live, we should be able to restore most of that, you know, revenue coming from those clients.
Sure, sir. Thank you for that. And in the current quarter, we saw a couple of large deals being closed in the U.S. So I just wanted to understand what is the strategy that we are using here, and, you know, what is the potential opportunity that we're looking, you know, in this geography. Maybe if you could give some timelines.
Yeah, so, you know, so in the U.S., we have been investing very aggressively for a long time. We created a strategy with one of the consulting firms to address three segments: banking, health insurance, and the insurance market. We had hired, beginning of last year, we hired complete teams to drive these markets. And now we are getting the early results of that. We have broken into cases this quarter in enterprise. We have broken into health insurance. We have broken into insurance, and then also a large deal from bank. So almost all four areas have fired this quarter and resulted in deals. So in fact, this was the first quarter we got 10 deals from US, and some are very marquee names. Now that we have got these wins, we expect now the growth rate and the momentum to continue building. But, you know, we'll have to wait for a few quarters, seeing how consistently we can grow. We are hoping that next year US should be our growth driver. And the market for us out there, the global area we are targeting, in banks we are targeting roughly around 80 large banks. We have pivoted away from the largest set of 1,000 banks. Similarly, in insurance, there are 120 companies. And again, in the health insurance, we are another 40 to 60 companies. This is a universe we are targeting, and we are trying to build much deeper relationships and build a multi-year contracts with these kind of customers. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. How about in India? So, I mean, India has traditionally been a growth driver for us. So what is the TAM that we are looking here? You know, what is the kind of scope that we do see to further mine the existing clients that we already have?
See, I think, you know, we don't have really very detailed reports of the TAM, but I think we are one of the larger players in the market, where we do expect our market share is at least more than 20% in the whole of the space we operate. But the market itself in India is expanding, and we are expanding it by getting into more and more areas. The way we internally look at it is that all our territories have large potentials. So I think we really would like that India has 1,000 crores in the next 2-3 years. That's our plan. So I don't think the market opportunity size is a limit. It's our own ability to execute. And we are going after that in a very aggressive way over the whole market.
Understood. So lastly, just, you know, I mean, more of a very long-term question. So GenAI has been, you know, one of the big tech disruptors. And then is there a case where we probably see this could cannibalize new gen revenues, probably on the content management or the BPA end? Like, is there a possibility of that?
I think this is a question for service companies, not for product companies. Technology is our enabler to sell. GenAI has actually reinvented all the use cases across industry for kind of things which we sell. In fact, using AI for content ingestion is one of the most hot cases right now in the market, by which the last quarter, out of around 6 deals we got in US, 3 to 4 are just around the AI capabilities of our product, which is typically a combination of ML and GenAI. See, we are leading this right now. I can with confidence say I think we have the one of the most content management and low-code AI-led products in the market with our Marvin, with Lumen and Hyper. Most of the cases we have won in last two quarters, AI has played a very important part of that. So the way you say the content management and Gen AI complement each other, so far people used to retrieve content, now they can discover more value out of that content. That's why Gen AI works on that content either through RAG or vector embedding or many other technologies like that. So there is a renewed interest in the enterprise content management space globally right now, both on the ingestion and the management and knowledge management side of that. We got two orders in Singapore government which are to do with kind of things we are talking about. We got one of the largest orders from the primary regulator in India, which is AI-led content management. And similarly, we got 3 to 4 orders in US around insurance companies which are around document ingestion, which is AI. So in fact, this is what we are excited about, not threatened about. So.
Okay, understood. Great. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Baidik Sarkar from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Varinder, hi. Good morning and congrats on a good year overall. Varinder, you know, there was a time in the previous years when you specifically called out that order book growth was higher than your revenue booking, right? Now, obviously, that was more sentiment-led given how strong FY24 was. If I just backtrack to just the current quarter, not perhaps Q3, but, you know, the first month of April and Q4, how does that sentiment look on the ground today? I ask it in the context of, you know, oil prices in the Middle East, you know, the U.S., you know, lead issues, and broadly, probably a situation of, you know, banking product like demand in India. So just keeping this in perspective, how would you define that sentiment, you know, I think, look today?
Hi, Sarkar. So, you know, I really don't have an answer that. I can look at only our business and what I tell you, our Q4 order book was pretty strong. I think, in fact, for we had a Q1, Q2, Q3 was a weaker order book than the Q4 order book. It was predominantly, in fact, our maybe it grew by around 30% or something Q4 order book. Q1 order book, I can only tell you after the end of Q1 because, you know, 70% of our business comes at the end of the quarter in last 3 weeks. So that's the nature of the license business. You know, see, everybody is cautious right now. Most of the customers we talk about, nobody has given an indication of holding back the project, especially in the spaces we are. But they are cautious about, you know. So there may be a, you know, kind of an impact of wait and watch. But right now, I think in our sales planning and in terms of what we hear from the market, we have not seen too much of an impact. And I hope that it remains the same way for the year.
Sure, I understand. In terms of, you know, the complicated 18-24 month projects that kind of had a long gestation period, which were the primary geographies that saw that? You know, is it
primarily
in H1 of this year? Sorry?
So India and Middle East are the primary geographies which are typically having those large gestation projects running for us. I think most of the Middle East ones we are very close to closing, and some of the Indian ones will take a couple of more quarters to do that. So these are the geographies where we have. Other geographies, we don't have such a problem.
Okay, so, you know, my question was that given that you specifically called out that H2 of this year will be a far stronger year in terms of revenue booking, is it fair to expect some kind of a YOY margin compression as far as H1 is concerned, given that, you know, we have fixed costs to be taken care of and we can't pull back on SG&A commitments? I'm just trying to get an understand about margin propensity in H1 this year.
No, I don't think so. So, see, when you are saying Y on Y, it will not have a compression. I don't think there's any reason because our costs are flat and we are still growing at a good, healthy growth momentum. See, the margin compression only happens, and I think, you know, we look at margins typically at the annual side because on a quarterly side they can change because still there's a kind of a revenue distribution which is not very even, while the cost distribution is fairly even on that. We are slightly being cautious about, you know, looking at our investments along with the returns which come in quarters. So we should be able to manage this. And unless there's a huge surprise on top line, which we are not seeing, I don't see the challenge on margin.
Right. So between the H2 estimates, you're still saying that there's no risk to, I mean, we ended this year with about 20% growth, which is a healthy number. So that number of between 22 to 25 is, will that continue to be a sanguine expectation for at least a 26 in terms of top line?
See, you know, I don't know exactly what we'll end up doing, because we end up always planning a lot and then delivering something. We historically delivered about 20% or near 20% growth. In this year, we don't think our plans don't change much. We still expect to do that. And we internally would end up trying to do a much better number. But surely on when it comes to budgeting, we do plan for that much of growth and that expenses accordingly. But what will happen at the end, we'll all have to wait and watch. So.
Okay. And very lastly, Varinder, you know, will growth say for FY27 onwards, will that be driven by our investments in new product use cases, or is it the deepening of the market for existing products that we have? How should we read this?
So I think, you know, we look at growth from two areas. One is about expanding our coverage in a vertical, so getting more deeper into banking, selling more solutions to banking, insurance. The second is also getting better penetration in mature markets. These are the two areas we are looking at. So how much more revenue contribution can come from markets like US or Europe, and then you know, how many more new logos we end up winning, and then also in the same logos per account realization, how can we improve? You can see a lot of you know, while we have churned out a lot of smaller accounts out of business, you will see revenue per account has constantly grown. Accounts greater than 5 CR revenue have constantly grown at a much higher speed. That is the churn we are driving, and this is being driven from two things: about, you know, going wider into each account and selling more to them, and also getting a healthy number of new logos which are sizably large.
Thanks, Varinder, and best wishes for future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. So you mentioned about the 10 deals, one in US. So these 10 deals are for the full year, or are they for the quarter?
Oh, so these deals are generally for us in perpetuity, because customers have long-term relationships. But really, generally, these are license plus implementation, which may have a cycle of 7, 8, 9 months, 10 months to implement.
And you have 10 deals for one during the year or during the quarter?
Okay, so the winning is for the quarter.
Okay, understood. Out of these 10 deals, I mean, how many of these deals would be with larger tier 1 accounts, where you know, we can have a bigger revenue potential?
See, all these 10 deals are with size. See, what we have already, you know, we have pivoted towards only large accounts. We don't do small account deals anymore in US. So we are saying these are either tier 1, tier 2 insurance companies, banks, or health insurance companies. So all of them are large accounts for us.
Understood. Sure. And these are coming largely from insurance, insurance and health insurance side, right? Banking would be lesser as of now, or how is it?
So I think three from banking, I think 3-4 from insurance, and couple from health insurance. I think that's, Dipti can send you exact distribution about these accounts.
Understood. Sure. The second question was on these, annuity kicking in for one of the, some of the delayed businesses in India and Middle East. Now when annuity starts kicking in second half, does the annuity percentage which you mentioned, 18 to 22, that remains the same or that changes?
So that is the percentage payout of annuity for ATS on licenses. So that broadly remains same. It does not change. The only thing, what happens, it starts kicking in. That means now it is due and we can recognize the revenue from that onwards.
Understood, sure. And the third question was on the new product. And you know, this is like two and a half years back. We were looking at a $500 million of a business. Naturally, the progression has happened well over the last 2 years. Just wanted to get a sense, and you know, for us to have that $500 million kind of a number, do you feel any specific products need to be developed, product gaps need to be addressed? Any development or any color around new products that would be really helpful?
So, Mihir, I think, you know, this is a work in motion. So, last year at the beginning, we defined a strategy about where we need to invest. We had to verticalize our insurance products across domains and then across geographies. I think 80% of that work has been already done. We expanded our banking portfolio, like in Islamic banking, and then also building banking integration. We expanded our insurance portfolio with integrations with companies like Guidewire and all that. So a lot of that has been already in place. Beyond that, in last you know, 2 quarters, we have doubled up on, you know, creating the AI roadmap for the whole product, because what we are seeing, the AI is driving most of the use cases. So a lot of our investment, while increasing our vertical products and making them more relevant for the market is one dimension. The other is creating the AI-led interfaces for our most of the content management, the low code, as well as the customer communication and products. I think between these two, there is enough market, and now it's our ability to go and execute and sell.
Understood, sure. Would we be looking at the core banking part of the piece to enter the corporate core banking part of the piece?
No, we have not. We have not considered that, and we are not interested in that. I think we work in the layer of innovation where most of the action is happening among banks, which is about journeys, processes, reinventing them. And core is where we end up, you know, making sure that we sit on, integrate with the core and keep on expanding the functionality of the core. Core is a different business. It takes a lot of time to build credibility in the core and then build systems in core. So we are not interested in core. The only thing what we are slightly interested in some in health space and in insurance space, we are interested in building policy administration services, which are kind of a semi-core out there. Those we are, we already have some products, and then we are expanding, trying to expand out there. But in banking, we are not interested in core.
Sure. So just one last question from my side. What was the order booking growth for the year on a YOY basis?
I think our order booking was at 1664, which was almost 10% or around compared to last year same time.
Okay, understood. That's it from my side. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Kachadia from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question on order book only. Like, what is current value of unexecuted order and as well as the new one which we received during the year?
I think we can, you know, if you can write a mail, we can send you those details. Those numbers, I don't have the unexecuted exact sizes. But as I said, our unexecuted order book compared to last year same period has a healthy growth. I expect more than 20% growth in that.
Okay. This unexecuted order book likely to come in execution in FY26 or it will extrapolate for one in FY27 as well?
We are talking generally unexecuted order books which are relevant for this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditi Patel from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So I have a question on the APAC market. So it has grown strongly for us in FY25. What has, which verticals and which countries have driven this growth, and how do we see growth outlook over here for FY26?
Yeah, Aditi, thanks. So Aditi, what you are absolutely right. APAC has grown strongly, and I think they've got the business has gone in two areas. One is around government. We have consolidated our position in the Singapore government space. I think we have won some marquee accounts out there, and we expect that momentum to grow into next year. I think some of the strategic deals out there we have been able to close. I think the wider market is still banking and insurance for us across all these markets. And in APAC, I think predominant market is around for us Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, Singapore. And then we are also trying to do something in Vietnam and other areas. But this is the market. So most of these deals which have come in banking and government space, which has given us that. It has become a substantial part of our revenue. It has almost now reached around 15% of our revenue, which is a good thing. And we are quite hopeful that I think the APAC can maintain a growth momentum. Also, having said that, I think if you look at last year, APAC growths were much muted. And since they didn't have high growth, this year numbers almost jumped out almost 60% of their growth, which is, but I think there is a considerable improvement in what our entitlement to win in government in APAC, especially in Singapore, and that's what we can ride on next year. And some of the marquee banks which we acquired, we should be able to expand both in Malaysia, Philippines, Indonesia, and in some more countries.
Okay, got it. And one question on the DSO days. So DSO days increased by 7 days in FY25. So what led to this increase and what is our target range?
So I think the culprit was EMEA out there. And some of very large payments got a bit delayed out there, which I think some part of them has been already recovered and some I think that has been predominantly. Rest, I think the larger deals that we have got into slightly, the improvement in DSO for the last year was more flat. But on Q4, since of some large payments got delayed, I think that's why the DSO jumped out there. I think we should be able to do fine in the next couple of quarters. We should be able to bring it back on track.
Okay, so what should be our target range for DSO? So last year it was 130 days.
See, our average, it will keep on coming down now that since it's a smaller quarters, because Q4 is very large, it always goes very high on that. But on the bill, so we think an average for around 120 for a year, and then we can improve it from there. So I think it will keep on becoming better for next Q2, Q3, but Q4 again becomes high because of a very large amount of our billing happens in Q4.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. This was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much everyone for joining in. For any further questions, you can connect with me or go to the website. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.